May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is one of my most treasured possessions. You Anglicans who insist on sitting in the back row probably can't see it, unless you've got your opera glasses in your handbag. It's a little plastic picture of the Good Shepherd with his sheep. My three daughters bought it second hand for their daddy 40-odd years ago for 10 cents at the St James Anglican Church Fete. It sits on my table ever since. Isn't it strange how something that cost 10 cents can be worth so much? Now, this morning I want to introduce you to my friend Ali. This is Ali Baba. The most intelligent sheep you're ever going to see. He's travelled from Cootamundra to be with us this morning. I'll tell you about that later in the notices. I love sheep. I have walked sheep from Rocky Plains to the other side of Eagle Hawk on the Monaro in the middle of summer. I love sheep. I've thrown thousands of them down plunge dips. I love sheep. I've inoculated and drenched thousands of them. I love sheep. I have brushed the maggots aside to trim hooves affected by foot rot and then stood them in formalin foot baths. I love sheep. I've been knocked unconscious by one leaping through the air, crept up on me from behind. I love sheep, especially when it's 110 degrees in the water bag and you're the one picking up the fleeces and tossing them onto the sorting table in a corrugated iron shearing shed. I love sheep when they're fly-blown. I love sheep, especially when a large mob has to be moved through unfamiliar gates or across running creeks. I do love sheep. Just as a rear leg comes out of the oven, is cut into slices and served on a warm plate surrounded by baked potatoes and green peas with gravy. I wonder if Jesus Christ sees us, as I have often seen and experienced sheep, as being difficult, time-consuming and exasperating. And today I want us to look at the 23rd Psalm from the perspective of the shepherd who wrote it. I have some idea of sheep, having had some of my own, and have worked on my relatives' farms down around the Cooma, Berridale areas. Digressing momentarily, I keep notes on subjects which may be useful in sermons as illustrations or to relieve congregational boredom. On the ABC Sunday morning show, Macca, Australia All Over, that's prescribed listening for clergy on a Sunday morning to get them spiritually prepared to preach, a lady phoned in to say that they had six sheep. For some years they'd got a local shearer out from town who'd shear the sheep in about a leisurely 30 minutes. So they thought, we'll do it ourselves. Wait for it. Six sheep, 6 hours each, over 6 weekends to do them all. Even I once did about a dozen in less than an hour. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. Who is this Lord? Does he have adequate credentials to be my shepherd and your shepherd? If this person, the Lord, is going to be my manager, my owner, my shepherd, I want a good one. I want the best. So, as I reflect on that, I then realise that my Lord was the shepherd who was prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore can I lack nothing. I'll not want because my shepherd will not be deficient in proper care, management or husbandry. I'll be utterly content, not craving or wanting more. David, who wrote this psalm, had known privation, deep personal poverty, acute hardship and anguish of spirit. But even after experiencing all of that, he was now able to express the contentment he had come to recognise as he allowed himself to be led by the Lord. He makes me down to lie. From my observation of sheep, it seems that they cannot lie down peacefully unless four basic needs are satisfied. A, they must be free from predators. B, they must be free of friction with other sheep. C, they must be free of parasites. And D, they must not be hungry or thirsty. Only the shepherd can provide these basic needs. Christians have an awareness and experience of our shepherd always being near. Christ will dispel our fears, whatever those fears which immobilise us are. The friction which I mentioned earlier is observed in all animals. Hens have their pecking order, cattle have their horning order, and sheep have their butting order. I wonder, does that apply in our lives? Maybe at school, within our families, fellowship, or sporting groups, or heaven forbid, even within a church. Do we cause friction by wanting to be in a certain position of significance? Does it matter where we're placed? Surely God's estimation of us is what really counts. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can be set free from fears of our not measuring up to worldly standards. Free from parasites. Sheep have problems with nasal flies, blowfly strike, lice, and a host of different types of stomach worms. Now you're all wondering, how's he going to relate this to us? Hopefully, we Christians don't have such problems. But I guess in our modern day terminology, we could call that being bugged. You know how we get annoyed and frustrated by all the little things in life that just seem to be a constant irritation. Surely as Christians, we should be able to come to a position of quiet contentment. In green pastures, he leads me by quiet waters. Shepherds in Old Testament times led their sheep, as distinct from our modern methods where we use sheepdogs, horses, or motorcycles to move them, to push them along. He leadeth me. That's not us going off doing our own thing. Yet God gives us free will. But if we remain open and receptive to his leading, he will equip us and strengthen us to be led to those quiet waters. Now, although sheep thrive in semi-arid country, they still require water. When sheep need water, they will become restless if their need isn't satisfied. From Psalm 42 we read, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." You see, we have instilled in us a deep inner sense of searching, searching for the living God. We often overlook everywhere but the right place, usually, for that which will fill this inner spiritual thirst. Note that the stress is on quiet waters, not turbulent, rushing water, but water which is both life-giving and peaceful to the soul. Jesus knows us by name, just like the guy who rang elders, shearing contractors, and said he had four sheep to be shorn. Contractor said, "So that's 40,000? No. 4,000? No. 400? No. Just four. After a long pause, the contractor's voice came on the line again. "Could I have their names, please?" I'm sure we all know of Christians who are admired for their serenity and ability to cope with life's complexities. They are the ones the Lord leads beside quiet waters. Those who draw apart from the rush and bustle of life to be with their Lord and have their souls restored again. How often, after a busy week, have you gone for a walk out in the country, perhaps along the edge of a stream or sat on the top of a hill or mountain by yourself and communed with God? Away from our usual environment and distractions, there we have the opportunity of having our souls restored again by God, and he is the only one who can continually refresh our souls. God is the shepherd, and he knows what he's doing with us, if only we allow him. And me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness. You may have noticed in real sheep country that there are sheep paths. These are usually caused by sheep following a leader, usually in a single file. Perhaps it's the safest way, perhaps it's the shortest distance to water, perhaps it's the best gradient. Whatever the reason for that track being in that particular place, it's in the best place. Similarly, God has a track marked out for us, and it's also the best place for us to be. Because when we deviate from that track, we usually end up in strife or lost. He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness because he knows that that is ultimately the best way for us. Though I walk through death's dark vale, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff comfort me. Into the lives of each of us comes crises, but the Hebrew word translated the valley of the shadow of death or death's dark vale do not actually refer to a deathbed scene, but to a deadly dark ravine as travellers would have to negotiate. The imagery being conveyed here is the hill country of Judah, broken up by narrow and precipitous ravines or wadis, difficult to descend and ascend, dark and gloomy, and abounding in caves where wild beasts and robbers lived. It doesn't require much imagination to understand the relief which would come to us to be provided with a guide in such territory. A guide is with us, with a rod and a staff to protect and comfort. In biblical times, shepherds always carried a rod and staff. The rod was used as a weapon of defence for both himself and his sheep, and to discipline and correct wayward sheep. The staff was the shepherd's crook, used for drawing sheep to himself for examination, and used to guide sheep through a gate or along a difficult pathway, just placed along the side of the sheep. Again, the imagery of love and gentle guidance comes to us. Isn't this the same way our heavenly shepherd guides us, gently helping us along the difficult way, comforting us as we go, sometimes checking us, but always encouraging us? Notice the verse says, "I walk through." That means we will be brought out the other end, probably as stronger Christians, as God leads us through his continual refining process. I use this psalm often when sitting with people who are very ill, those who are dying, and those who are bereaved. The psalm always brings great comfort and reassurance to them. "My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes, and my head with oil thou dost anoint, and my cup overflows." It is one thing to survive a threat, as in the third verse, but quite another to turn it into triumph. Every detail in this verse is in that key, from the furnished table to the festive oil and the brimming cup. The verse reflects the victory celebration where our enemies are present as captives. In our Christian lives, we have to contend with foes, and Satan uses many forms by which he endeavours to attack us. But Christ has promised us the victory, and he sits us down victorious at his table. "Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house for evermore my dwelling place shall be." Finally, we come to the recognition that once we have that rich and limited relationship with the Lord, we take delight in seeing his goodness and mercy to us in all things. From then on, all we want to be is to dwell with him forever. The imagery is of sheep being so utterly content with the care and love they receive that there is no desire to be anywhere else. Allow me to close with what I think is a beautiful illustration. Some years ago, a great actor was asked at a drawing room function to recite for the pleasure of his fellow guests. He consented and asked if there was anything they especially wanted to hear. After a minute's pause, an old minister asked for Psalm 23. A strange look came over the actor's face. He paused for a moment and said, "I will, on one condition, that after I have recited it, you, my friend, will do the same." "I," said the preacher in surprise, "I'm not an elocutionist, but if you wish, I shall do so." Impressively, the actor began the psalm. His voice and intonation were perfect. He held his audience spellbound. As he finished, a great burst of applause broke from his guests. As it died away, the old man rose and began the same psalm. His voice was not remarkable, his tone was not faultless, but when he finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. The actor rose, and his voice quivered as he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I reached your eyes and ears. He has reached your hearts. The difference is just this. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." I hope you all know the shepherd too. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we give you thanks for the rich imagery and truths contained in today's psalm. We thank you that you are indeed the Good Shepherd and are always ready to guide us when we go astray. We ask that you would be with us during this coming week and lead us beside those quiet waters. Lord God, we acknowledge that you are the only one who can restore our souls. Lead us and comfort us with your staff so that we may evermore dwell with you. Amen.